Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
So we're talking on filters, and we're talking about how mental filters will fool you, form you, and fail you. How they will fool you, form you, and fail you. And I want to begin in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, want to get ready with us, we're going to read this, just a little portion of this text that we want to focus on. But how about we do this first? Say with me, my heart's open. Come on, let's get ready for the word. My heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God. By your word, I receive it and I believe it. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name. Shout a great big amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:23 reads like this. It says, and be continually renewed. Be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. Having a fresh, untarnished, mental, and spiritual attitude. Paul is talking to some Christians here at Ephesus, and he's making them aware that the spirit of their mind, or we call it today our attitude, it doesn't stay fresh on its own. That it has to be continually renewed. Now, some of you who are real detailed, maybe see personality people, you're like, yeah, but what's that mean? Like, how often? How often exactly does that? Well, continually. Continually. That means that some days it's going to be 25 times. And other days it might only be 10 times. But once you have an awareness of the power of your own mind, and you grow in a desire to have a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, you will know. And you will realize it is time for me right now to think differently and to get renewed over that stuff that is today stuck and lingering in the filter of my mind. The mind is the most powerful thing in the universe, next to God. Your mind is your greatest liability or your greatest asset. And if you're going to live your best life, you're not going to do it having the wrong stuff stuck in your mind, hanging out in your mind. You're only going to do it when you are aware that you have the power. I said you have the power to renew your mind. You can see we are today getting set up with a flat screen, and let me just tell you that today we're going to focus on, in this edition of the series of filters, we're going to focus on how our mind and our mental filters affect the way that we see ourselves. We're gonna talk about how it affects the way we see ourselves. And this is Kiri. You've already met her, right? Were you up here yet?
I was.
You were up here earlier. I thought so. So you've already met Kiri, and I've asked her to help me. You guys have probably seen the social media filters that people are using to have fun with. Well, Kiri's going to help me to illustrate that. And young people especially, they do this and they have fun, and it is fun. Grandparents like Sheila and I, we do it with our grandsons, and it's a blast. It brings smiles, it brings laughter all the time. So Kiri, why don't you just get started here and kind of show them what I'm talking about. You take a picture and boom, there you go. You got a little different something going on. You got another one there for us. Nice.
And another one? Let's do it.
Look at those shades.
Well, there's stars on your head.
Ears. Nice. Where's that one that you
I was looking for it. Doing? I think it might
you
have changed.
Lost it? Yeah. Okay, now you're getting weird on me. You're doing hearts on my head. You're getting hearts on my head. Here's what I want you to know, is that what most people don't realize is that we get our self-image from our own filters. Did you catch that? Our filters present a version of ourselves to us. So say this with me. I see myself. Come on, everybody say it. I see myself through my filters. Now there's an example in the Bible, Numbers chapter 13. Some people in the Bible said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, in our own eyes, in our own eyes. What is that? That's a filter. So when I see myself a certain way, that's that filter. Okay, you're getting a little crazy on me now. You got to get out of here. You got to leave. I can't have you here no more. Let's give her a great big hand. Thank you, Kiri, for helping us out. And here's an interesting thing about your filter that you see yourself through, is when I see myself a certain way, I assume that other people see me the same way. And that's what that scripture says in Numbers, that we see ourselves as grasshoppers in our own eyes and we look the same to them. Well, why would they say that? Because that's the assumption, that the way we see ourselves is how we think everybody else sees us. So our filter tells us, you know, I look silly, my ears are too big, my nose is too long, I look weird. Not only do I look weird, I'm not very smart, on and on and on. And when you see yourself in a negative way, that image inside of you is what you carry around with you. And sometimes the smallest things can trigger a distorted, inaccurate view of ourselves. For example, you oversleep, you're late for class, you miss your exit, you pronounce somebody's name wrong, and the next thing you know, you got conversations going on in your mind. You're so stupid. How could you miss that? Why are you always late? And then this happens on a regular basis, and pretty soon you've talked yourself into bad beliefs about yourself. You cannot live your best life without continually renewing your mind. You can't live the life that God has planned for you without maintaining a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude about yourself. So I came to help you this weekend, and I came to be honest with you, and I came to just say, let's think about this, and let's clarify something that we're all dealing with. And I want to invite you, let's lean in. I'm believing that this can change some people's lives this weekend. I know that some of you, like, you're in a place, in a space right now, if you receive what I'm saying and what I'm talking to you about, you will leave here different, and you will begin to walk down a different pathway. And in doing so, you will create a different future for yourself and for the people around you. The first thing that I want to encourage you, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, is to identify the negative voice inside of you. Identify the negative voice inside of you. In the book of Genesis, the serpent lied to Adam. And after Adam listened to the lie, he saw himself differently. He took on a self-image that made him insecure and awkward and uncomfortable. He wanted to hide. And the scripture in Genesis reads like this. It says, "But the Lord God called to the man and said, 'Where are you?' And the man answered and said, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And God said, 'Who told you that you were naked?'" Like, that wasn't happening before when I came to talk with you. You weren't running to hide. The other day, last week, last month, what? Who told you that you were naked? And the answer to that question is that no one told him he was naked. He told himself. Which is what happens to us. We hear a voice, our own voice, telling us we're not good enough. We don't measure up. We're not qualified. And that voice then causes us to feel awkward, insecure, inferior, intimidated, uncomfortable. What had happened that on that day was that Adam had opened up the door through his own disobedience to his sin nature. And his sin nature is representative of what now we are all born with. So we identify with Adam in the idea that when that doorway got opened up, that from then on, every human being that is born will deal with a similar challenge. We live within our sin nature, which is always going to talk to us in a way to bring us down, in a way to make us feel small. And what happens is we trust that voice because it's coming from within us. But I want to say to you this weekend, Champion Center, man of God, woman of God, young man, young woman, don't trust that voice. Don't trust that voice. And here's why. It's not coming from a healthy place. It's coming from a faulty filter where lies live and linger. In the unchallenged, unchanged filter. And you can't trust it. It's not telling you the truth. It's not letting you know the full story. It's isolating your mess up and your goof up and your screw up, and it's amplifying all the things about you that are not right. And the negative voice cannot be trusted. But you have to first of all identify that it's there. The second thing, if you're going to maintain a fresh and untarnished attitude about yourself, is that you have to qualify the positive. Qualify what I call qualify the positive. I saw some research recently on how most of us start as children to do what researchers call disqualify the positive. So children who do this, they find ways to explain why positive experiences in their life don't count. So if you have on one side of the ledger, you have positive experiences that they're having, and then on the other side you have the negative experiences. At a very young age, human nature starts to disqualify the positive, only leaving you with the negative. So if they're not making good grades and a teacher reaches out with concern to help them, they could tend to see it as insincere and just reason, well, if the teacher really cared about me and wanted to help me, he or she would give me a good grade. Or when a parent or a teacher or a coach enforces a rule or disciplines a child, it's often interpreted in the mind of a child as everyone's out to get me. Like, it's not like they care about me, they want the best for me, they disqualify the positive and they go to the negative. They're just out to get me. When a child is left out, for example, not included in with the peers, picked on the sports team, not invited to the party, they often see it as someone just, when someone does do that and they do get invited, they often see it as someone just, okay, they saw I was alone and they're being nice. Or their mom or the dad made them invite me. Can you see what I'm talking about? And as children, this process and this habit of disqualifying the positive begins to take root in all of our life. And that belief that I'm not wanted, I'm not included, I don't measure up, it's already in their mind. And then when someone invites them to come along and be a part of something, they see it as not counting. It's not sincere. The study went on to say that even though we mature in some ways as we become adults, it's very common for us to keep disqualifying the positive in our life. And this is something that I know I've struggled with. When I played sports, I could have a strong game and do a lot of things well. But it was the strikeout, or it was the fumble that went home with me and haunted me. And my parents could say, no, you had a great game, you scored a touchdown, you're amazing, like awesome. But for me, like, oh, you're my parents. I dropped the ball. I had a turnover. I screwed up. Even now, I have to be intentional. And I have to make a point of fighting to qualify the progress and the good things, because my natural tendency is to underestimate the positive. Am I alone in this? Like, is anyone identify? Am I standing in this room by myself as a person who does this? Or so chances are that you may have a habit, and you probably do, of disqualifying the positive, especially when it comes to yourself. You might be, for example, your own worst critic, constantly seeing what you do wrong, failing to give yourself enough credit for what you do right. Let's just think about this. Let's consider this today. Like, are you disqualifying it when your husband compliments you? And you're like, of course, my husband. Like, are you disqualifying it when, you know, the boss brings you in and wants to critique you and help you and has a couple of things they want you to do different, but in the same conversation, the boss says some good things that he or she really appreciates about you, and some wins that you have, like, and some things that stand out in a positive way? Are you walking away from that, disqualifying the positive and only focusing on the negative and not hearing the encouragement, not hearing the good, only hearing what you don't do good enough? Also, there's a tendency that I've noticed with Christians to do this with scriptures that we've heard before. Hear me out on this. It's very common for us. Once we've heard a scripture a couple of times, let the weak say I am strong. And we hear that a few times, then like we hear that and we're like, okay, I heard that. You got another one? Like, you got a better one? Like, give me a new one. Like, I heard that one before. I can do all things through Christ. Yeah. Right? And rush over it and disqualify the truth that is in it. The powerful, life-changing truth. Because it's now familiar. One of those familiar verses is Philippians 4 and 8, where it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Remember this one? Maybe this is one of the ones. Yeah. Well, do you have it memorized? Can you quote it? Can you say it at gunpoint? Then shut up and keep working on it. Keep receiving it into your heart and into your mind. The power behind it, like whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. This is like our true north verse. It's like our scripture to prod us forward, to say, if you're going to remember anything, remember what is true. If you're going to talk about anything, talk about what is right. If there's anything going to stick in your filter, make it the thing that is lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. Like, focus on that. Oh, man, I know I'm right where so many of you live today. Like, as a pastor, here's what I notice. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's amazing how people come to church and they grade everybody else. They grade the worship, they grade the singer, they grade the microphones are too loud, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then they get to the message and they grade the message. Okay, I'll give them a 7 a day out of 10. Wasn't really a 10. It's like, oh, yeah. And then they do that and they never realize that in their own mind, they're the person that's not taking notes. They're the person that's not focused on committing the value, for example, of a church service as something that they actually can take home with them and take away that positive, because they disqualify it in their own life. And here's what they do. They go home and they turn on the news that has all the negativity and all the garbage, and they qualify that, and then they wonder why they're continuing to be a negative-oriented person. They listen closely to what that friend says who's offering marriage counseling that's been married 14 times and doesn't have a clue about relational connection, and they're not listening to the messages and the teaching and the strength of God's word. They're not going in and memorizing that I'm going to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, and I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, and I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved the church. And because they're already pushing that out of the way, disqualifying the positive. Am I talking to anybody this weekend? Disqualifying the positive. So I want to encourage you. Come on, let's start today. How about we do this? Let's start. Let's do this together. I need it. You need it. We all need it. Let's qualify the positive in our life. Do whatever you got to do. Write it on your hand. Put it on your mirror. Qualify the positive in your life. Think about the positive. Legitimize the positive. Elevate the positive. Celebrate the positive. When that little voice of yours says, well, you've heard that before, or that's just that church says that, Bible says that, Don't turn away from it. Keep saying exactly. And I'm going to keep on hearing it. I'm going to keep on saying it. I'm going to keep focusing on it. I'm not going to allow that little voice to disqualify the truth in my life. It's the truth that sets me free. It's the truth that is my strength and my help. Man, I'm fired up today. I want to say one more thing about that, because I want you to understand that a lot of people who are negatively inclined, when you get positive around them, they will try to be the voice that agrees with your little disqualifying voice and say something to you like, yeah, that's all that, you know, positive thing, faith thing, like, yeah, but that's not real. Your pastor wants to arm you with a little bit of juice today, okay? You need to look closer at what is really real. The negative people in your life, they have imaginations. And they have negative sorts of philosophies and concepts and ideas. And they're what they call real, and what they say is their reality, it doesn't have to be your reality. You can create a new and better reality. Come on, we're here to create a better. So if I am optimistic, don't try to make me feel inferior. If I am confident, don't try to make me feel intimidated. If I'm going to bank on something in faith and say, no, I really do believe, and I have reason to believe, then don't come along with an arrogant kind of, well, you're just a naive. Let's rethink that a little bit. Don't let people intimidate you into a negative place of thinking. Negative people love company with negative people, but let's be positive, amen? So, there is one more thing, I'll just throw it out at you, that'll help you with this maintaining a fresh, untarnished attitude in your life, is don't just listen to yourself, talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. The faulty filter is determining your internal dialogue, and it's creating the narrative about you. It has its own version of you that it presents to you. But you don't have to listen to that version of you. You can talk to you. I said you can talk to you. Well, that sounds weird. Well, you're already talking to you. So why not talk good to you? And if it's so loud in here that you have to take on the audible version to talk to you, like you got to scream over it, scream over it for a while until that voice gets shut down and that filter gets cleaned out. And you create a new narrative about you. There's a scripture, there's a lot of them on this, by the way, but Ephesians tells us to do this. It says, speak to yourself in psalm, in hymns, and spiritual songs. Speak to who? Ourself. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I love that. So when your mind says you're not good enough, are you going to let that be the narrative? Or are you going to just kind of let it stay there and put on an outward swag and hope that helps? Because it doesn't. There's a lot of people with the outward swag who have inward insecurity. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to that voice that's talking to you about you? What are you going to do with it? You know you're awkward in a lot of situations. You know you feel uncomfortable. You know there's a struggle going. So what are you going to do about it? Well, this is one of the things you can do. You can talk to yourself. Not just listen, but talk. So when the voice tries to push its way in to tell you something that's negative, that tells you, no, you've messed up too much. You say, no, I haven't. My past is not my future. My history is not my destiny. That's a lie. I'm going to call you out. Hey, by the way, I told you pick up a book, but there's three things I'm really bringing back around that's in this book. There's actually four. You got to get the book to know the fourth one. But here's the three things that will really, it's three R's. I created it to rhyme. You recognize faulty filters, you reject the lies, and you replace the filter. Recognize, reject, replace. And if you memorize this little step and this process, where, no, I am recognizing that is not the right voice, and that doesn't move me forward, it takes me back, then I'm going to reject that right now, and I'm going to replace that. And that's what I'm talking about. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Teach yourself to talk to you better. Tell yourself, I'm not going to continue to listen to that. That came from my childhood. That came from my mom. That came from my dad. That came from that employer. That came from all of those moments where I felt small and I felt insecure. No, 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 no.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.